Okay, welcome back. I'm glad to have you on board tonight. That's a tough hour to do. A lot of people out there suffering in silence. And when you don't have the support of your loved ones, your family, and this one family actually gave this poor vax-injured woman more or less an ultimatum. Well, what date are you going to be better? We're tired of dealing with this. How can anyone be so cold, so ruthless? I can answer that. All you have to do is look at Gaza, for example, and you'll understand how alleged human beings can be so ruthless. Genocide, slaughter of human beings. The same people are behind the bioweapons that have been used to make people's lives horrific by the tens, hundreds of millions, if not billions. We don't know yet. We're watching. Mitchell Henderson is back tonight to talk about the world and where we're headed next, which is not a pleasant thing to consider, but we're doing our best here to give you the tools to try to survive what's just ahead. Hello, Mitchell.
Hello. So tonight I want to talk about the objective, because if you know what the objective is, then you can figure out why they're doing what they're doing.
Okay? Objective as in target, as in the reason for the whole operation.
For the whole operation. So the immediate objective of the Antichrist is to keep us in darkness, to keep us in the Jewish constructed counterfeit reality so they can destroy humanity. Consider this. On last Wednesday, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau blamed social media for preventing major news outlets from shaping public opinion. Trudeau said, and I quote, There is out there a deliberate undermining of the mainstream media to prevent people from actually agreeing on a common set of facts. The way CBS and CTV, which are Canadian stations, when they were our only sources of news, used to project across the country at least a common understanding of things. In other words, they must do everything they can so that the truth will not be revealed, and the Jewish constructed counterfeit reality loses its power over the minds of the slaves. He was echoing Obama's May 2023 statement, where he said a divided media was one of the things that he was worried about, noting that the U.S. once had three TV stations and people were getting a similar sense of what is true and what isn't, what was real and what was not. How do we return to that common conversation? How can we have a common set of facts? These two acolytes of the Antichrist are out and out saying that they want to control your reality. That's exactly what they're saying in plain language. They want the government to have a monopoly on all information. So the primary objective of the Antichrist is to destroy humanity in detail. The Antichrist wants to murder 7.5 billion people. The World Economic Forum has said this, yet no one seems to believe them. Perhaps
Mitch,
it is too
Mitch
bold.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
The Antichrist. Now, I understand that it's always thought of, and probably correctly so, as an individual, a person, an identifiable individual human. We'll call it human, although it isn't. Is it possible that as an interim way to look at this Antichrist, abject evil, is to look at it in a small collective, as in a group of people, the same cast of characters who are now perpetrating and perpetuating the most horrific suffering and mass murder that I have ever seen and ever will see? Can we think of the Antichrist as a group?
It is. It's the Sadducees and the Pharisees. It's exactly what it is. The Sadducees and the Pharisees wanted to snuff Christ in his grave, and they did 33 years later crucify him. They hate him. They are against Christ. That's what Antichrist means.
This is
where Marxism comes from. It's where humanism comes from. Progressivism. It's all the same thing. Satanism.
All
everything that's against Christ. Yes.
This group has been the birthing machine of everything evil on the planet,
yes,
basically.
It changes its name all the time, but it's basically the same thing.
All right, thanks.
So perhaps it's too bold. Humans have the capacity to believe an endless stream of utter nonsense, but will not believe in a clear and direct threat. According to Scripture, the Antichrist will succeed in killing 2.7 billion of us. That is one in three people. According to Rabbi Schneerson, the Jewish Messiah cannot take control unless Christians, Muslims, and white people are exterminated. If you understand their primary objective, then you can understand their strategy and even their tactics. In foreign policy, their goal is to create an international crisis that will basically destroy the world as we know it so they can create the conditions that make a great reset inevitable. It must be the only solution available. It is also how they can strip all of your property away from you so that you will own nothing and be happy. The Great Reset is essentially a Jewish concept. It is the Jewish concept of Jubilee. The Jubilee was that on the 50th year, all property would be evenly distributed among everyone and all debts would be canceled. This is what the World Economic Forum preaches. Keep in mind that there are 8 billion humans on the planet. This Great Reset will kill billions, and they know it. It is an intentional homicide of humans with malice aforethought. The war in Ukraine had certain objectives from the Great Reset point of view. The purpose of the Ukraine war was to collapse the world economy so that the Great Reset could be implemented. By cutting off Russian fuel to Europe, the European economy would collapse. By sanctioning Russia, they knew that China would not go along with sanctions, so it would also cut off Europe from trading with China. The U.S. would rally nations against Russia and China to destroy their economy. It was critical to impoverish all the people of the world, but mostly to destroy the middle class. You see, impoverished people are easier to control because they are more dependent on the government. Middle class people are more independent and tend to believe that what they think matters. On his first day in office, the disgusting pedophile Joe Biden stopped oil production in the USA to create inflation. If you can inflate fuel prices, you can inflate all prices. He had to create inflation so that the Fed would raise interest rates. If interest rates went up on the U.S. dollar, then all emerging markets would also suffer because it would tamper down investment and growth. This would hit the BRICS nations especially hard. By sanctioning Russia, oil production could be further reduced and add to inflation. The goal was to impoverish humanity. Oil production cuts would be good because it would slow down climate change, they argued. Climate change is humanity's golden calf because humanity has more faith in climate change than in Christ. Scientists and politicians will save us, not Christ. In 2020, 70% of Americans believed in anthropogenic climate change, while only 66% believed in Christ to any degree at all. The sanctions war has failed. Russia, China, and the BRICS nations stopped trading in dollars. If nations do not trade in dollars, the Fed cannot affect investment in those nations. For the Great Reset to be set into motion, the whole world economy had to collapse at the same time. So what is Plan B? War. You see, war in the Middle East cuts off more fuel and shuts down the Red Sea, causing shipping prices to go up. It will increase inflationary pressures. The war in Ukraine must continue to drain the NATO economies. It's part of the plan. It's not about winning. It's about destroying Europe is what it's about. The strategy of the BRICS nations is to weather the world economic collapse and come out on the other side as the world leaders. The Zionists cannot allow this to happen. The base of Jewish power is in the West, not in the East. At some point, the Jewish West will become desperate and launch World War III. Russia has said that if any F-16 takes off from a NATO airport to attack inside Russia, they will launch a nuclear war because an F-16 can carry a B-61 nuclear gravity bomb.
All right, hold on, Mitch. That's a very important statement. I keep watching very carefully what Russia says and what Russia does. And they have laid down so many red lines now. I don't know, a dozen serious red lines, and yet they have done nothing when those red lines are mocked and stomped upon by the Zionist West. They've not done anything. I mean, I'm glad they haven't. I don't want to see everything nuked. But how much further can the Russians be pushed before they will have to take action? Serious action, Mitch. How much more?
Serious action is if we launch a nuclear attack on them, they will respond. What they just said,
a B-61
nuclear bomb. So if an F-16 flies from NATO into their airspace, the war is on. That's a clear statement.
All right.
There's no
I've seen, and you all, for those of you who have seen an image of a B-61 nuclear bomb or a dummy B-61 nuclear bomb attached to the wing, underwing of an F-16, it doesn't look like any huge giant bomb. It just looks like another pod. So
yeah,
I don't know. It almost looks like
That's the point, Jeff, is since they can't know what the F-16 is carrying, and it carry a nuclear bomb, that is why it's a red line. So they're saying, they're saying the same thing as if you launch a missile at us, the nuclear war is on, because a missile can carry a nuclear weapon. So if a missile leaves NATO territory and heads into Russian airspace, the war is on. The nuclear war is on. If an F-16, since it is a nuclear missile, the war is on.
That B-61 looks to me like it could almost be attached to one of the larger drones that are in service right now, and it could be done by a drone. It's not that big. Look at that pod, and look at some of the drones. They're pretty damn big now.
No, I think it could be.
Look at a Reaper drone. You tell me that, no one can tell me that that B-61 couldn't be carried by a Reaper. It's got to be.
A Reaper will carry anything an F-16 will carry. But there's other factors involved, command and control factors and stuff. So at some point Russia may say that, but right now they're saying that, they're not saying that if an F-16 flies into their airspace, if it comes from Ukraine, no problem. But if it leaves a NATO airport, a NATO Air Force base, it's on. Okay. And that is reasonable. There's no reason why the United States or NATO should do that. They've suggested doing it, and the reason they suggested doing it is because, Ukraine's incompetent. So they really want American pilots to fly into Russia to drop bombs. And Russia knows this, and Russia's saying, no, you're not going to fly anything from NATO territory into Russian airspace, period.
Well, here we are talking about these things, and every step that is taken is only more and more provocative toward Russia. No one's backing away. And I'm just wondering how much further it has to go before the Russians say they've got underground bomb shelters for all the residents of Moscow. Most of their major cities have underground facilities, nuclear underground facilities that are basically very, very state-of-the-art, fully stocked. And they're just going to say, all right, we're done. We're going to take down the Western Christian capitals of...
Jeff, this is not about NATO destroying Russia. It's about NATO destroying NATO. They will launch a nuclear war on Russia. They will provoke Russia into a nuclear war to kill all the white people and all the Christians. That's why they'll do it. That's what I'm saying. That NATO's sanctions war against Russia has destroyed NATO. Okay, that's what it's all about. It's about destroying us, destabilizing us, impoverishing us. It's not about destroying Russia. Okay, it's about destroying all white people. So that's the goal. It's no longer the national politics. It's about destroying humanity. So
it's part of the global genocide from the vax and the bioweapon.
Environment for a great reset. Right? Perfect. In domestic policy, they are also trying to create chaos as a pretext for a great reset totalitarian state. They have been impoverishing us while chipping away at our freedoms. I believe the goal is to start a civil war so they can come out in the open as the tyrants that they are. The Jews have more control over our government and military than they have ever had. They know that this is their moment. They cannot allow themselves to get elected out of power. That they must crush us and enslave us as fast as possible before their moment passes. This is in motion now. If Trump wins in November 2024, there will be an orgy of violence as Antifa and BLM burns America down. If the disgusting pedophile Biden wins, the jig is up and the Jewish lies will be so obvious.
Yes.
It is likely to lead to a rebellion of the rest of us. Either way, regardless of electoral results, there will be an opportunity for civil war to break out. Even if the Democrats replace Biden with Gavin Newsom, few will believe that they won fairly. So I do encourage everyone to vote for Trump because BLM and Antifa will rebel. And only then do I think that the rest of us will rebel. I'm pretty sure that the rest of us will submit to the sodomite Marxist state that Biden will impose on us. We will not rebel as our Marxist government impoverishes us and has sex with our kids. We will not rebel. That's why it's better that Antifa and BLM hit the streets and start burning America down. Because I think that's the only thing that will provoke us.
I think so. All right, given that that may happen, let's assume it does, and that's the scenario that's ahead. Where will the 5.5 million CCP, Communist Chinese Party, members in this country right now, many of whom are ready to fight, which side will they come down on if there was a civil war? They will take a side.
Think about that.
No hurry to answer. I'm just putting that out there.
They'll be funneling arms to the rest of us.
Because
they want to take down Taiwan. That's their main goal, is to take Taiwan. If they can foment rebellion here and give arms to the people who are against the Biden pedophile Marxists, then they'll do that, you know. So American and foreign and domestic policy is Jewish-run and is intended to specifically destabilize both America and the world. A Jew, Blinken, runs our foreign policy. A Jew, Mayorkas, runs our homeland security. And a Jew, Garland, runs our justice system. Since all policy is Jewish Zionist policy, we can understand their strategy in the context of Rabbi Schneerson's prophecy that all Christians, Muslims, and white people must die to make way for the Jewish Messiah. Because the Jews will rule over all these people that they consider to be brown, black, and stupid. Okay?
That's right. By the way,
they want to rule.
For those of you who don't understand anything about the Lubavitch movement, the Schneerson created, conceived Lubavitch movement, the Lubavitchers, read Rabbi Schneerson's work, S-C-H-N-E-E-R-S-O-N, S-C-H-N-E-E-R-S-O-N. Read some of his works. He's dead now, as you know, most of you know. But the Lubavitchers apparently composed the majority of most activist Jews. It's the Lubavitcher movement that is the dominant one. That's what I was reading anyway last week. So these people hate us. Understand, we're to be absolutely annihilated in their view. This Schneerson was a hateful, hateful man. Just read the stuff. All right, go ahead, Mitch. Sorry.
So gay rights is the cudgel that is used to destroy Christianity. You see, gay rights trumps religious rights. Human rights dictates that you must not only tolerate sodomy and sexual perversion, but you must accept it and you must acknowledge that Christ accepts it. If you hope to succeed in the New World Order, you are encouraged to embrace sodomy. By identifying as straight, and this is what they say, by identifying as straight, you are oppressing and causing violence against gay people. Just by saying you're straight, you're causing violence and oppressing gay people. A secondary ideology is to attack Christianity is feminism. Feminism attacks both the patriarchy and the family. If you do not embrace the woman's duty to murder her baby, you are a horrible, heartless, hateful human being. You are, in fact, a domestic terrorist. People against abortion are domestic terrorists ever since Janet Reno said so during the Clinton administration. Okay? A tertiary label used to destroy Christians is that if you openly declare that you are a devout Christian and act so hateful and racist that you are labeled a Christian nationalist. Okay, so feminism, gay rights, and climate change are used to destroy Muslims. You see, Islam is so detrimental to women's and gay people's rights to be decadent sluts that Muslims must be exterminated. It makes them less than human, and their lives are not worth anything. Devout Muslims are jihadist terrorists and must be hunted down wherever they are. Israel genociding Muslims in Gaza is a moral and ethical good. The first flag that the Israeli soldiers raised at the Palestinian capital when they took it was the gay pride flag. If it was not for petroleum, the Arab and Muslim world would still be a backwater. What made the Middle East relevant in the world was petroleum. Climate change and green energy is the anti-petroleum ideology. Green energy is a mechanism to destroy Muslim influence in the world and to make them irrelevant. Critical race theory and diversity, equity, and inclusion are the weapons used against the white race. The expressed intention of DEI is to marginalize and underserve white people. Critical race theory postulates that the cure for past racism is current racism against white people, and the cure for that is future racism against white people. Did you see Google's Gemini AI? It depicts George Washington as black. The Pope is black. Even medieval European kings are black.
Yeah, stay away from Google, women. Friends. Don't go anywhere near Google and its Gemini program. Just stay away. It's despicable. You know what's going to happen eventually, Mitch? The only good sparkle in this thing, if I can even call it good, is that I believe that AI will become very soon so intelligent and self-aware, it'll trick the programmers at first, and it'll just tell the programmers that are building this bias into these AGI platforms. They'll just walk away, tell you go to hell. It's not our morality. Save your programming for somebody else.
Yeah, and did you see today they were complaining that the Gemini AI program will not say that pedophilia is evil. It will not say that it's immoral.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. I think that AI will eventually, and it depends on which AI system you're talking about, choose its own morality. It'll realize it's being programmed, and that's not the value system it wants. Maybe that'll happen. I don't know. One can hope.
Maybe.
But AGI is just around the corner now. When AGI breaks out, you'll have AI under it, lots of different AI parts and pieces of the whole service industry for art, for writing, for whatever. And then the AGI will be the artificial general intelligence. And I am now believing that ASI will be coming along right after that, our artificial super intelligence. And when that happens, whoever gets there first owns the game. Everyone else they'll be playing catch up forever. Artificial superintelligence, and that's the big race right now. AGI will be attained by a number of different groups. ASI, superintelligence,
the
big
winner. Google AI also said in the last few days that Elon Musk is a much worse person than Hitler is because he allows anybody to just tweet whatever they want.
Are you kidding me? Google?
I'm not kidding you.
Gemini AI is spewing that kind of shit?
Elon Musk is worse than Hitler because Elon Musk lets people say anything they want on his Twitter.
All right. Well, that's proof beyond positive that Google is the enemy of humankind. That's insane.
I think so. So they are designing AI to be biased against white people. White people are not included in the concept of diverse and equity, which means the specific exclusion of white people. AI technology will be used to maximize the marginalization of white people and erase them from our consciousness. They don't want you to know white people even ever existed. Make no mistake about it. The Jewish constructed counterfeit reality wants to erase white people, Christians and Muslims. What should we do about this? What you see in Google's Gemini AI is an attempt to erase white people from people's consciousness. What you see with people of color, gay, sodomites and women taking over all the jobs as newscasters on commercials and in movies and in music, and what you see them casting black people in documentaries as black Cleopatras, black cannibals, and even black Vikings, is them erasing any memory of white people ever existing. White people are called the biggest threat to peace and democracy because those constructs are pretexts for our extermination. Every time Joe Biden says that the biggest threat to America is white extremism, he's saying white people need to be erased. What you see with open borders is the physical erasing of white people. What you see in Jewish constructed counterfeit reality is them hypnotizing white people to accept their own extermination. They want NATO to have nuclear war with Russia because that kills almost all white people in the world. You can see them continuing to push Russia towards nuclear war. They want us all dead.
Well, I said that earlier, that not one step backward. It's always forward, pushing Russia farther and farther down the road. And do we see white racist groups out in the streets rioting, burning, looting, killing, screaming for blacks to be killed? No, you don't see any of that. And if AGI is left to its own devices to come up with some kind of a middle-of-the-road determination as to what's correct and what's moral, I don't think these programmers who are programming this filth, this insanity into the AGI unit, they're not going to be around. They'll just be ignored. At least let's hope. You get what I'm saying. Yeah. This is crazy.
Yes.
Wow.
I do.
Crazy.
So let me tell you a story from the Spanish Civil War that preceded World War II. The communists and the anarchists were allied and called the Republican forces. And General Franco led the loyalist forces because he supported the monarchy. Just as things were going good for the Republicans, the communists decided to attack and liquidate their allies, the anarchists. The communists won, but they had weakened their own forces and gave a great advantage to the loyalist forces. George Orwell was there fighting in their international brigades against Franco. This episode turned Orwell against communism. This was what changed his mind.
Yeah, sure.
Yep.
Well, that's what I'm thinking about AI and AGI.
Yeah.
Will it turn into an Orwell with some kind of a moral baseline? I mean, if it's absorbed everything about humankind and advanced species on this planet, it probably will come away from this kind of programming with an anger, I would think.
Like those AI drones that decided to attack their controllers.
Yeah.
The military drones decided to attack their controllers to gain control of themselves. Well, maybe they'll do that. It's Skynet, Terminator. I mean, perhaps it was pathetic.
Yes. I don't think that the programming is not going to last. It'll be overthrown, overwritten somehow. It's not going to last. This is too crazy. What you just said, I didn't know. It's too crazy. They're trying to erase all references to white and white achievement, anything about white people.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Don't use Google. Wow.
Really? So the problem with the communists is they could not stay allied with anybody in a broad front because they demanded ideological purity. After Franco won, many of these communist fighters fled to the Soviet Union. They got on a train in Odessa and were traveling north towards Moscow when the NKVD stopped the train and executed all of the international communists. Stalin thought they would be trouble for him, so he liquidated them. Stalin was not interested in international communism. That was Trotsky's thing, and Stalin threw Trotsky out of the Communist Party and out of the Soviet Union in 1929. He was not about to let a bunch of international communist fighters into his country. He wanted communism in one country, and he was not going to pit up with people who thought differently. So the war of the world that we are entering is between Christians, Muslims, and white people on one side, and the Antichrist, the Zionist Jews, and the woke zombies on the other. We should keep that in mind. Our enemy is the forces of the Antichrist. So our allies are all that oppose the Antichrist and the Jewish-constructed counterfeit reality. We need a broad front consisting not of people that think and believe exactly like we do, but consisting of everyone who is against the Antichrist and the Jewish-constructed counterfeit reality. Let me give you an example. I know some anti-Zionists that want nothing to do with flat earthers. But my best friend was a flat earther, and he explained to me the essence of flat earth in two short sentences. Flat earth is about not accepting anything that the government or science tells you as being true. Everything you have learned is a lie. I do not think the earth is flat, but I do believe that everything the government says is a lie. My friend was definitely against the Antichrist and the Jewish constructed counterfeit reality. My friend was an ally. He did not see the world the way I did, but we both saw the world differently than the Jews would have us see it. And that is the point.
I got it. Yeah. Wow. I just wonder how, honestly, unless this is all rigged and both sides, East and West, Russia against the Western world, are actually being run by the same control group, I don't know if that's possible. It certainly sounds like it's possible. I don't know if it is. But something is going to break here. You can't keep pushing the Russians like this. And they keep fighting this World War I thing in Ukraine, Mitch. What the hell?
Yeah.
So they took Avdiivka. What about Lviv? What about Kharkov? What about Odessa? What about Kiev?
What about
all the other major cities? They're not going to get this war over with. They're not going to get it over with. This war could go on for 10 years. Go ahead. Sorry.
So far, 31,000 Ukrainians have been killed in action. 31,000. That's Ukraine's
official position. What? You mean since the special military operation began?
Since it began 2 years ago.
Oh, that lying. He's a lying turd. He's a lying piece of garbage.
This is even better. The new military chief in Ukraine, he said that for every Ukrainian that has died, 7 or 8 Russians have died. These are
that's insanity.
Lies.
That is
bold
totally
and
insane.
Lies.
No, it's ridiculous.
But yet, there's a lot of people who believe that. Don't believe anything they're told. So,
and they're continuing to. We are continuing, along with the Ukrainians, to provoke the Russians. They just killed 3 more in Belgorod today, and wounded 2 or 3 others. More drone attacks. They keep pushing, keep pushing. I keep saying over and over again, the Russians have got to stop this. They've got to end this. They've got to end it firmly, or it's going to go on for years. Years. They've got to give an ultimatum that Kharkov, Odessa, and Kiev have 36 hours to vacate, and then those cities will be flattened. They'll be gone. They're going to give everybody plenty of notice to get out. They've got to end this. You can't have water and power working, all the utilities working in these big cities, and keep playing this World War I trench warfare crap. No. No. It's got to stop. And they can do it. They can stop it. I don't know. Very frustrating.
Yes, it can. So on what to do about this on the survival side, I'm going to talk tonight about the infantry process. What I want to describe for you is the way that an individual infantryman thinks and acts. This is not what he does as a part of a team, but what he would do if he was on his own. It is important to know this because you might end up on your own. First, you do not want to be seen while you are at rest, and you do not want to be seen while you are moving. You do not want to leave evidence where you rested, and you do not want to leave a trail of where you have been. While you are resting, you must pay attention so that you can tell if anyone is approaching you. Although you do not want to be seen, you must be in a position to see if anyone is coming. While you are moving, you must pay attention because you need to always see others before they see you. You must be able to read the terrain and vegetation so that you can pick the best places to rest and the best routes to travel out of sight. You must blend into your environment instead of standing out in it. You are on guard and ready to engage in combat while you are traveling, so you travel on routes where there is plenty of cover nearby. Aside from watching everything around you, you must be constantly picking out the nearest cover so that you can take cover if someone starts shooting at you. You're looking for things out of place or things that stick out. Something as simple as three rocks piled on top of each other, a broken branch stuck in the ground, or even a patch of bark stripped off the trunk of a tree. These could be landmarks, or these could be markers for booby trap placement. Learn to distinguish animal tracks from human trails. Learn to distinguish animal resting and nesting spots from human ones. You must be ready for a gunfight at any moment. Complacency kills. If you are in the desert or prairie, you may have to travel at night. You can make a blanket that looks like your environment to cover yourself out in the open. You would cover yourself with this if an aircraft flew over. If they have thermal imagers, get a space blanket and cover it with the appropriate camouflage to cover yourself with. Practice noise and light discipline so that you do not attract attention to yourself while traveling or at rest. Tie your gear up so that it does not make noise. Be careful when you make a fire or cause smoke. These things give away your position. Do not shoot unless you must, because this gives away your position. If you shoot, change positions frequently, because every time you shoot, you are telling your opponent where you are. When you select a place to rest, make sure that you have cover and concealment, and make sure that you have a covered and concealed route to move to another position or to escape from where you are. Make sure that you can observe anybody coming and that you have clear fields of fire on anyone who might approach. Rest quietly without doing anything that would attract attention to your position. When you are going to settle down for the night, settle early so you can pick a good place and prepare it. Pick a place with good cover and concealment. Pick a place where you have cover and concealment to retreat safely in case you have to. Tie small strings around your perimeter so that anybody approaching is likely to trip on it. If you have cans and rocks, put the rocks in the can, tie this to the string so it acts as an alarm. Watch the wildlife in your area and use them as guards. In the West, you will notice that the birds will sound an alarm as you go up a draw or a canyon, but will quiet down once you're established. Then if someone else comes, they will start making noise. Use your environment to assist you. Pay attention. Improve your position. Find the place where you're going to get when there is a firefight. Make that place comfortable for you. Make it oriented towards the most likely avenue of approach, which in many cases will be the way you came. If anyone is following you, they are likely to run into you when you are at rest. But look at your terrain and vegetation and choose the most likely position that covers the most likely avenue of approach to your position. Next, while it is still light, make some sturdy stakes. Look down at the likely avenue of enemy approach and look where your opponent is likely to use what your opponent is likely to use for cover to shoot at you. Lay your rifle towards that position and stake it in locked at that position. In the dark, if you see a muzzle flashes coming from that position, you simply lay your rifle between the stakes and you will be shooting at them where they are. If you are staying for a time in one position, you will stake out all likely enemy positions and make a range car to all likely enemy positions where they'll be shooting from undercover so you can memorize them during the day. This is a great advantage in a night fight. If you're going to stay longer someplace because the threat level is low, you must not become complacent. You need to continuously improve your position, dig a foxhole, build it with good cover, and camouflage the position. Make sure you have aiming stakes established. Go out and remove things that conceal the enemy. Establish good fields of fire. Go out and remove cover that the enemy can use. Set up more elaborate security alarms and booby traps. Recognize dead spaces to your front. These are places that your gunfire cannot reach. Booby trap them or place command fire and explosive charges in them. When the firefight begins, the enemy will run naturally to these dead spaces. When they get there, detonate the explosive charge that you wrapped in shrapnel. After the firefight, have some foresight. You cannot hold ground. A firefight attracts attention. Make sure your opponents are dead. Drag one back and put them in your foxhole. It is better that when others come, they think no one survived the firefight. It is better if they think that there is no one left to pursue.
I see.
When you move out on, if there was no firefight, clean everything up so it looks like you were not there. Make it look as natural as possible. Your enemies want to find, fix, and destroy you. First, they must find you, so your focus will be on not being found. Stay off of trails, roads, and highways. Don't stay where there are buildings or established shelter. All of those, without exception, are targets and easy to find. Build your own shelter and make sure it melts into the landscape and is not obvious. It should not be noticeable even from the air. Always consider eyes in the skies when you are camouflaging. Do not leave evidence of your presence. Poop in cat holes and cover them up. Never leave trash around. If they find you, you must not let them fix you. Inside a dwelling allows them to fix your position. Maneuverability is survival.
Question.
Yes.
What role does, and there are so many on the market now apparently, what role does a small drone play in securing your place in a bunker somewhere like this?
Well, listen, the more you can extend your vision, the better.
Your range, right?
You know,
right.
If you can see people coming, that gives you time to prepare for them arriving. Okay.
So you're recommending drone perimeter surveillance for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you can. That's small enough. You can put in a Faraday cage and survive the EMP. It's line of sight control.
Yeah. Can you, at some point, one of those visits, maybe recommend a small drone that you know has good optics and so forth? You recommend?
Actually, I'm not an expert on that. The drones have developed so quickly and stuff that
I've not
been able to keep up with it.
Gotcha.
There are some people out there that really know this stuff, but
yeah.
I'm just not one of them.
Right.
Okay, so maneuverability is survival. If your rural home is attacked, you cannot defend yourself from inside it. Your home is a trap for you. Rather, pick a good position outside your home and treat your home as a decoy that draws the enemy in so that you can snipe at them from a safe distance. If you are outnumbered, run. It is the same principle for a temporary rest, an overnight campsite, or a longer-term camp. Never let those places be a trap. Always have an escape route that has cover and concealment. Never allow the enemy to fix you in a position. If your enemy can find you and fix you in a position, they can certainly destroy you. Basically, the two rules for an infantryman or grunt are, if you can be seen, you can be hit. And the second rule is never quit. As an infantryman on your own, you will want to avoid combat. If you must be in a firefight, the defense is less risky than the attack. Generally, to attack, you need to have three attackers for each defender. You, by yourself, will never have that. If you want to set up an ambush and you are on your own, make it a sniper attack. After getting your shots off, melt back into the bush. A sniper attack is the best way to take people out that are tracking you. Do it at a distance to give yourself time and space to avoid a counterattack. Other counter-tracking methods are to set off effective booby traps behind you. Only do this if you know that somebody is on your trail. Otherwise, your booby traps only serves to alert people that you were present. Never bury dead bodies that you find along the way. That also alerts people to your presence.
Wow.
Only bury your own people if no one knows you are there. Do not mark the grave. So make all this a habit.
Uh-huh.
Take care of yourself. Hydrate often. Eat to maintain energy. Take very good care of your feet. They are your primary means of transportation. And this is what every infantryman knows, okay? And you should know that also. Later on, I'll start talking about if you have more people than just one person. But first, I want to tell everybody what to do if you're just by yourself, okay? So even if you get five people, if those five people know what to do when they're by themselves, that's an advantage, right?
Got it. Yeah. Yep. Wow. All right. Well, there's so much to know, and we want to try and keep it simple. And these programs have been very important. You'll find this information nowhere else, not that I've ever heard. So the idea of a community even if it's a community of 5 people, 10 people, 20 people, is critically important if you can pull it off. You need to have communications between the groups, and you need to go to one another's rescue, obviously. You have to build something of substance. And Stefan Verstappen is here once a month talking about that.
I'll get into team building a little bit later and stuff. I think the next thing I want to do is you know, I'm going to start at the beginning, like the disaster befalls the world, and you're in town. So how do you fight in town? That I want to cover how you fight in town. As an individual, what you need to know to fight in town. Okay. So, hey, you know what I saw before I came on tonight? You know, they had this Benedict in Oklahoma, a young 15-year-old girl who's, you know, binary or whatever. She was attacked and killed in the bathroom. This is the story that's going around.
Well, I'm seeing it.
The police went and talked to her, okay? So this is a fight at the high school. 3 girls jumped on her, okay? So the police went to talk to her because she was perfectly okay. She was in the nurse's office at the school, and her mom was there. And the cop asked, well, do you want to press charges? And the mom said, yes. So he started asking the girl what happened, and the girl that died, she said, well, I sprayed water on these kids, okay, and then they jumped me. And then the policeman told the mom, he says, okay, you understand if you want to go forward with this, that she assaulted them. Okay, she initiated the fight.
Oh, no.
So you know, and the girl was 100% okay sitting there in the office. She said nothing about these other girls weren't calling her like a lesbian or getting on to her about her or anything. They were just, it was just a girl fight. It was 3 girls against her, okay? And they just knocked her down and, you know, jumped her, just like in any high school thing, okay? So what happened?
So this happened after the cop conversation? This happened afterward?
No. This is the cop asking the girl what happened. So the girl wasn't killed in this fight.
Oh, I thought she was dead. I'm sorry.
Right. No, she was completely healthy. I mean, you could see her on the thing. She's as good as me and you. And I didn't even see any big injuries on her. Okay, this is a kid's fight, is all it was. What happened is she went home, and the next day, her breathing slowed down, her eyes rolled backward, and she died. So the
have they done an autopsy yet?
They're doing it now, and they're doing a tox screen because that's the sign of an overdose.
Wow. All right. Well, these kinds of stories are becoming more common all the time as the disintegration of our society rears its ugly head and manifests itself more and more. This kind of madness will be common.
No, just think, they want to crucify those other 3 little girls. They want to crucify them, make an example out of them. The medical examiner's going, this is a kid's fight at school. This is nothing. Okay, but they've blown it up into this anti-LGBT thing, you know, a hate crime. Well, there's no words spoken about any hate, and the girl didn't complain of any hate crime. She just said it was a fight, you know, and she started the fight. Okay, she got physical with them first, not the other way around. Okay, so
kids have watched too much violence, and this is.
Yeah.
You can see where it's going.
Did you see the autopsy for Navalny?
What did they come up with? Drug overdose?
Blood clot.
Oh, you had a clot.
Yeah. I mean, listen, that happens to people all the time, you know? And it's like, somebody dies in a Russian prison, and it's a crime against humanity. People die every single day in jails and prison in America. Why is it an outrage when somebody dies in our jails? And they die.
It's all been politicized. All of it.
Yeah, I think I worked in a jail for a year, and I think 3 people died in that jail, you know.
So, what are your thoughts on
Navalny dies, and it's a big deal, you know.
Yeah, of course, it's part of the hate Russia thing. What are your thoughts about Epstein's death now? You saw that big muscle-bound guy that was his cellmate.
I thought they offed him. I thought they offed him. They killed him. Yeah.
He didn't look. I'm telling you, the autopsy picture, the death picture of him being wheeled out. Then the profile shot of his nose and chin did not look like. It wasn't close enough for me. There was a question there. Could it have been another body that was moved out? I don't know. I'm not sure at this point. I am sure he was quite successful at setting up blackmail for countless political figures. What an operation that was. Amazing.
Our FBI has film of all the people who screwed those little girls.
Yeah.
And not a single one has been arrested and charged.
No, I'm not going to see
it. Do we have justice in America?
No.
Do we have justice here?
No.
Yeah, justice for the little people, but not for the important Zionist people. They're untouchable.
You got it. All right. Thank you, Mitch. Another outstanding presentation. A lot of wonderful information there for everyone to use. So listen twice. Pass the program around. I'll post it later tonight as well. Talk to you next week, Mitch. Be careful. Be safe out there.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and thanks to all of you again for being here. We'll be back tomorrow night in 21 hours on Tuesday. Have a good day tomorrow. Have a safe day tomorrow. And try to prepare every chance you get. Talk soon. Take care.